Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, obviously they beat the Tennessee Titans 35-24. And I think Patrick Mahomes, I've said it. You've jumped on me because of it. I put it out there on Instagram. I've put it out there on the radio airwaves. I put it out there on television. Patrick Mahomes has the chance to one day become the GOAT. He's certainly not there now. There's no question about that. It'd be stupid to say he's there now. But and it's early, of course. But there are a few players in each sport where even early in their careers, Mike Trout, he could be in the conversation for the GOAT. When LeBron James early in his career started, we all said he could be in the conversation for the GOAT. You only had to see a few years. Some people were saying it even before that. And Patrick Mahomes, after just a few seasons, is a guy that has the potential. He has the ability. He's in the right situation where if he can win, he could lay claim or challenge Tom Brady, Joe Montana, for GOAT status. And I think he proved on Sunday when he threw for 294 yards, completed 23 of 35 passes, 3 touchdowns, no picks, that he is the best quarterback in the NFL. And here's the biggest thing, the craziest thing. His best play, for all the great passes he threw, his most impressive play was a run.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
He's not Lamar Jackson on the ground, but he can run the football better than most quarterbacks, no question about that. And Rob, like I said, he's got to finish it off. Got to finish it off. They're playing a great San Francisco team, as they showed by smashing the Green Bay Packers. So he's going to have his hands full. But if he finishes it off, this is the beginning. And I've said it, a Jordan-esque career. He's not Michael Jordan yet. Of course not. But if you look at the way Jordan started, and this is why I use that term Jordan-esque, because Michael Jordan entered the league and was doing things on a consistent basis that we had never seen before. And Michael Jordan, it was clear to us from the beginning that for him, 30 points a game was like an all-star scoring 20 or 22 points a game. It was his baseline. Entered the league averaging 28 as a rookie. Then 30 points for several years after that. So Patrick Mahomes has come into the league and done things consistently that we haven't seen before. And that's why, again, I say he's off to a Jordan-esque start. Remember, Jordan didn't even win it until his 7th year. And so he could get started a lot earlier than Michael if he can finish this thing off in 2 weeks.
As usual, Chris Broussard is the biggest prisoner of the moment, always overstating what we're watching and making it.
I'm a prisoner of the moment. Yeah, yeah, we go back to 2012.
Wait a minute. Can we just let
you, I'm just saying, I just gave you 10
minutes.
I'm a prisoner of the moment.
I gave you 10 minutes, right?
He was great.
Okay.
He had 11 touchdowns and 4 playoff
games.
I'm
not here to poo-poo.
But I'm a prisoner of the moment.
I'm not here to poo. Yeah, when you start talking about.
It's not 4 quarters. It's 4 games.
When you're talking about prisoner of the. I'm talking about prisoner of the moment when you're talking about he could be the GOAT. When he
could
hasn't
be.
Even. We can't even. He hasn't even won a Super Bowl yet.
Could be.
Here's the other thing.
I ain't say he is.
Here's the other thing. You said it about Dak Prescott after the first three games.
What'd I say?
When he piled up numbers that he was headed to a lead.
Okay.
He didn't even make the Pro Bowl this year. No, but you said he was a lead off of three games against bad teams.
Are we talking about Dak or are we talking about Patrick Mahomes?
I'm trying to give you the way that you operate. Lamar Jackson was all the rage. You claimed he was going to be unanimous
could be,
MVP.
And then
all he had to do was look at some of the voters who didn't even have him on their ballot.
Have you seen the ballot yet?
You think he's going to be unanimous still?
I think he should be.
Do you think he will be?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what the voters will say.
In this case, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, and I'm not here to bash him, because of what he was able to do and get to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years, that franchise. Tip of my cap to him. He's a hell of a player. But this is all premature. He did it against two of the worst defensive teams. The Titans were 21st all in the NFL this year, and the Texans were 28th. So he hasn't – those two teams – I expect at home for you to put up those kind of numbers against those kind of defenses. Now, San Francisco second. If this guy does this against San Francisco and wins the Super Bowl, Chris, I will gladly join in on your conversation. But before that, it's totally premature. It's overdone, overcooked, oversold. He's a tremendous quarterback, but stop trying to crown people before they've won anything.
What's the crown?
The idea to even mention him as GOAT. Can I give you say we never seen
mention
this?
Mention him as GOAT?
No, man, let me say this.
Potentially.
Let me say this.
Go ahead.
You say, we've never seen this. Yes, we did.
From who?
His name was Dan Marino in his second year. He had 50 touchdowns. He went to the Super Bowl. And you know what happened? He lost and never got there again. That was the guy, Dan Marino. So for you to say that we've never seen this is false. Go look at his numbers, Dan Marino, when he came out of the gate. He was a hell of a quarterback. Everybody thought he was going to win. He never won. That's all I'm saying. We've seen this stuff. Stop making it like everything is brand new. Oh, Patrick Mahomes, we never seen anything like it. It's not true, Chris. It's false.
Okay. Then let me read a few stats for you since we see this.
Dan Marino go to the – did he go to the Super Bowl second year?
Since we've seen it so much, only two players – in the 100-year history of the NFL, have 250-plus passing yards, 3-plus passing TDs, 50-plus yards rushing in multiple career playoff games. Patrick Mahomes.
So somebody else did it.
Can I fit? Yeah, Joe Montana. I didn't mention Dan Marino.
But somebody did it in my point.
You know
25 years ago.
The guy that you claim is the GOAT.
But 25 years ago.
The guy that you claim is the GOAT.
You said he's doing something we never seen before. That was out of your mouth. You just mentioned Joe Montana, who I say is the GOAT. So somebody did it 25 years ago. It ain't new.
Did Montana run like him?
Obviously, because if you gave that stat, Montana was involved.
Did Jordan do things we never seen before, Rob?
I'm not talking about Michael Jordan.
No, you brought up Dak Prescott. Answer my question.
I don't know.
Michael Jordan do things we never seen before?
I don't know if I could say never.
It's a figure of speech. Dr. J did some things. Jordan capitalized on it, took it to another level. That's what Patrick Mahomes
is
doing.
I'm just saying you're premature.
There's only so many ways to throw a football. Of course somebody's done it before. There's only so many ways to run a football. Of course somebody's done it before. But you're just trying. You can't combat the argument. So now you want to take everything ultra literally? You can only throw it so many ways. You can only run it so many ways. But this dude is magical.
If you told me, Chris, that he was the only guy who ever did that, then I could buy into it. If you told me he was the only quarterback who went to the Super Bowl in his second year, I could buy that. But all of those things are struck down because other guys have done it. All I'm saying is stop
being premature with telling people how great people are.
Stop calling me premature, because I don't want to run the tape from 2012 when you said Tom Brady would never make another Super Bowl. How premature was that?
Are we talking about Tom Brady or are we talking about Mahomes? Talking about Mahomes. Stick to your guy who you said could be the GOAT. He ain't even, if he loses the Super Bowl, I want to hear you say the same thing.
Oh, I will.
That he's going to be the GOAT.
No, okay. First of all, don't, if you're going to be
said
critical
he could be the GOAT.
I said he could be. And there are guys, if you just watch the game, there are guys you look at and say, he potentially, there are people now saying that about Giannis in the NBA.
I ain't buying that.
He could potentially
when he wins six championships, let me know about Giannis.
And it's not just championships. It's not just the number of championships you win. But there are guys with certain ability that you can watch them early on their careers. Heck, people were saying that about LeBron James before he even got to the NBA, because you watch the game and you see the talent. That's all I'm saying. Never said he is the GOAT. Never said he definitely will be the GOAT. Said he has that potential. And there's only a handful of people every generation or so that you say that about, and Pat Mahomes is one of them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob's known her since she was 16.
Yes.
I've known her since she was early on writing in Detroit. And it is great to have her on. She's become a superstar. She writes for The Atlantic, staff writer there. Also the host of Jemele Hill is Unbothered. That's the hot podcast out right now. Jemele, welcome to the iCouple.
What's up, Jemele?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
It is
great to have you on. And happy Martin Luther King Day. And let's start there. Why don't you just tell us, I mean, you've been a person that I think you don't mind talking about race. I think.
not only that, but you're thoughtful about it and you think about it. And that's why we really wanted to have you on today. Just give
really
us your thoughts.
Great day to have you on. But what does Martin Luther King Day mean to you? And what do you think, you know, in where our country's at right now in that context, what do you think about it?
Well, I guess I look at it this way. I mean, I think we all came up through school with a basic understanding of who Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was. But as I got older and I wanted to know more and became more curious, the more I learned about Dr. King, particularly in the 3 to 5 years, I would say 3 to 4 years, not 5 years, 3 to 4 years before he was assassinated, the respect I had for him, if it was possible, it actually tripled, because that's when you learn that kind of post-Nobel Peace Prize that Dr. King was quite radical. And especially right up until his death, some of the themes and some of the problems and issues he discussed, which really centered so much on economic injustice, it was very eye-opening and was a window into who he was. And I think I've also been able to read a lot of things that have talked about the weight of what he was carrying, as in not just the weight of the people, but for as much as we thought we knew about how much he was antagonized, how much he was threatened, what his life was like, I'm just astounded, and I'm grateful that he was able to still stand as tall as he did, despite the fact that he really lived his life like a moving target, you know, the last couple of years. And to supplement that, I also have read Coretta Scott King's biography, which is equally eye-opening about what they went through as a young family, what they went through as a couple, and just a lot of different things. So I feel like now, at this point, I have a full picture of his life, and it allows me to appreciate the full breadth of what he was and really come away from it with the firm understanding that he may be the greatest humanitarian this country has ever produced.
And Jemele, we started the show off talking about him, and Chris and I both, the people who gave of themselves, who knew what was coming, the dogs, the water hoses, people spitting in their faces at the Woolworths counters and all the other stuff. And today, and I'm not, there are a lot of people who stand up for the right thing, but we're so bothered or annoyed at the small things when people really put up with a lot to change the world. And now you got so many people who just, they don't want to be inconvenienced. Do you know what I mean? It drives me crazy when I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we live in a different time, mostly because a lot of the rights that those people you alluded to fought for, a lot of them, a lot of, you know, the people before us who were brutalized so that we could live in a certain level of comfort today, that's kind of what changed. But the thing that didn't change was a lot of the things that they were speaking about. There were some things that were much more blatant, but I think we, while there has been sort of some incremental progress in the sense of, you know, there is no, at least legal segregation, we know that there is kind of an unintended segregation and that's happening in our country right now. It's just, to me, the power of racism has been how it's been able to redefine and reinvent itself through generations. We went from slavery, then it reinvented itself and became Jim Crow. Then it reinvented itself again and took on other different nuanced forms of institutional racism. Today, the greatest level of racism we're probably living under is mass incarceration. So it keeps on coming back. And so part of the reason why it does is because as much as we like to think because we have some freedoms that maybe our parents didn't fully enjoy throughout their entire lives, and certainly not our grandparents, the reality is that all the things that Martin Luther King Jr., all the things he marched for, all the things he stood against, they're still as vibrant and as prevalent today as they were 50 or 60 years ago.
Jamel Hill of The Atlantic joining the Odd Couple. Jamel, you had a great and really interesting tweet today saying, you know, you're watching all these people who criticized Colin Kaepernick for a nonviolent protest, and obviously he's still suffering the consequences of that today, not being in the NFL. But these people who criticized him are praising Dr. King for being nonviolent in his protest. Can you expound on what you meant by that?
Well, I think we're going to probably see this with Colin Kaepernick. I say this all the time about him. Watch how the story changes. And you guys have covered sports a long time, and you've seen how people are remembered differently than in the time, and how everybody has a revisionist history. I think we're going to see the same thing with Colin Kaepernick. 20 years from now, everybody's going to swear that they stood by him, and we know that's not true. The NFL is going to change their story drastically. I really predict this. And so to that end, the same can be said with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Right before his death, nearly two-thirds of this country had an unfavorable opinion of Martin Luther King Jr.
And that ruined a lot of black folks.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. It wasn't just limited to white people. Everybody has, of course, you know, read or even heard how unfavorably, for a long time, Malcolm X looked at Martin Luther King Jr. He considered him an Uncle Tom. And during that time, you know, most Americans had an unfavorable opinion of him. They believed that his fight for racial justice was hurting race relations more than it was helping it. And years later, I think part of the reason why they have sanitized just how hated he was and just what it, and his message and what he stood for is because people are uncomfortable with the fact that the very system he was railing against and fighting against, they were a party to, they benefited from. And that's why it's very easy for people to have the cognitive dissonance between Colin Kaepernick and Martin Luther King Jr. I'm not saying that Colin Kaepernick is the humanitarian that Martin Luther King Jr. was. He's a humanitarian in his own right. But what I am saying is that the reason why it's easy to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. today is because we know he was right. And people don't understand, you get a lot of opportunities before history proves something right to prove what you really stand for. Don't stand for it when everybody else is already
right
on board.
That's
easy to do, right? It's really, you know, right now, I mean, not to get too apolitical, but right now some of the things that we're seeing are too political with our government, with how they're treating undocumented workers, how they're treating black and brown people, period. Right now is the time where you should be standing up. Don't wait to 20 years from now when we see what is the collateral damage of everything that we're seeing happen in the climate today. And so it's just easy for people to take these stances when they see everybody else on board. You saw the same thing with Muhammad Ali. How many people loved him, particularly once he became ill with Parkinson's, but when he was standing up against war, who was standing with him then? That's when you know the people who are not just really down, but people who really understand what's at stake.
No doubt about it. Hey, Jamel, we would love to have you on. One of these days, you should come by and hang out with us in the studio.
Definitely.
I know you're busy.
Look,
we'll do
that. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting on my Eventbrite or send me
all right.
a little invitation.
In other words, it's got to be an official invitation to her assistant.
We
get it.
Hey, Jamel, one last thing. We got like 30 or 45 seconds. How in the heck are you a San Francisco 49ers fan coming from the D?
Not
a Lions fan?
No, come on. First of all, I love myself too much to ever be a Lions fan. Secondly, Robbie spent many years in Detroit, so you know how that goes. But my mother, I was actually conceived in San Francisco, so my mother brought all that Bay Area 49ers love back to Detroit with her. And so I got influenced by it, and the Lions were terrible. They were awful when I was growing up. The 49ers are on the rise, so I just kind of stuck with the 49ers and haven't let go since the early 80s.
Now, that's fair, then.
It's nice that they made the Super Bowl, but they going down in a couple weeks.
My homeboy.
Bet him some Jordans. I already won a pair.
I'm done betting Jordans.
Bet him a pair of Jordans.
We bet some wings.
Oh, see? Yeah. You don't even want to go? You're not with Mahomes?
I told you I'm gun shy on the Jordans.
Okay.
I spent $200 on him.
Hey, I want a pair of Jordans from the World Series. He's still hurting over it.
All right, you let me know, Chris, if you want to put some oomph behind
it. You really want some? All right, let me think about it. Look at this.
Think about it.
Hey, Jamel, thank you so much. Continued success. You know we love you. We do.
Okay, bye, guys. Love you.
Jamel. Peace.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Contrary to public opinion, I am an Aaron Rodgers fan. I agree with you. I think we both felt he should have been ahead of Brett Favre as one of the 10 top quarterbacks of all time on the NFL's all 100 team. But I said on Friday, he's got to deliver. His record in NFC championship games is not good. And I don't mean just the record where he was 1-2, but his performances. And I wanted either a win regardless of how he performed. I'm not down on Jimmy Garoppolo at all. I don't care if you throw 8 times if you win. So I wanted a win no matter what, 97 yards passing, 17 for 40, whatever it was, if you win. Or a huge individual performance and the defense just couldn't stop San Francisco and it was not your fault that you lost. And I'm disappointed because Aaron Rodgers did not deliver. Now, yes, the defense could not stop San Francisco at all. I mean, they had Raheem Mostert looking like Eric Dickerson. And that's a good comparison because the only guy to ever rush for more yards in a playoff game is Eric Dickerson. So they made Raheem Mostert, an undrafted guy who got cut by 6 teams. And not to belittle what he did, but my goodness, he looked like an all-time great against them, and the holes were just huge. So the defense was horrible. But Aaron Rodgers did not deliver. He did. It was totally, Rob uses the term stat padding. He calls Matt Stafford stat padford. I admit Dak Prescott did a lot of stat padding this year. When they got down, they had to throw. That's why he has so many yards. But Aaron Rodgers' performances yesterday, 326 yards or whatever it was padding the stats. When the game was in the balance, he didn't do it. He was a big part of the reason they were down 27-0 at halftime. They're down 17-0. They're marching. They're in near the red zone. And he fumbles the snap. It was right in his hands, like any typical snap. And he just fumbled it. And as Rod Woodson said last hour, didn't go after the ball. That killed a drive. They go down and get a field goal. Now it's 20-0. And then with a minute left in the half, he throws a pick when the receiver wasn't ready for the ball. Now, maybe it was the receiver's fault. I don't know. But he throws a pick in their own territory, making it an easy opportunity for the 49ers to score. And they did, 27-0, and it was it. And then in the second half, San Francisco's like, we just going to win this game. We'll give you the underneath stuff. And he did get the bomb. They burnt Sherman. But I don't want to hear about the 326 yards or whatever it was that he threw for. Aaron Rodgers did not deliver, and now he's 1-3 in NFC championship games. A guy that his claim to fame is not throwing interceptions. Yet in those four NFC championship games, he's got 6 touchdowns and 7 picks. I don't know how you explain that. 6 touchdowns and 7 picks for the great Aaron Rodgers. And it's in those four games, he's averaged 20 points, the offense. 20. I know the defense in Green Bay's never been great, but you're only giving them 20 points to work with. And some of his losses, you know, I mean, Seattle scored 28 when they beat him in 2014. So it's not like the defense always got run over. So I just think, you know, I'm not taking away from his greatness, taking away from his Hall of Fame. He's all that. He's still one of the best to ever do it. But other than the Super Bowl, the year they won it in 2010, he has not delivered in the NFC title games. In 4 of the biggest 5 games of his career, he's been bad. Even the one they won, he had 2 interceptions and 0 touchdowns passing. So I'm disappointed. That's all I'm saying in the great Aaron Rodgers.
Obviously, he could have played much better than he did. Finished with 31 for 39, 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, and a lost fumble.
He fumbled 3 times. He only lost 1.
He lost 1, right. That's the big thing. But Chris is just obviously going to poo-poo the defense and where you were.
No, they were horrible. That's undeniable.
This is Aaron Rodgers in 8 playoff losses. Defense has given up 45, gave up 37, gave up 45. He also led, and this is the other part, led a game-tying drive, never got the ball back. That was another loss. Led another game-tying drive, never got the ball back. And then the defense gave up 44 and gave up 37. Those are the games that he's lost. It's like there were times where he never got the ball back after getting the game tied because the defense couldn't get
a
stop.
Why are you down? Can he get ahead?
Well, but the problem is when your defense is that porous. Here's another thing that's very interesting. That for all the struggles, in some ways, Rodgers has actually been better in his playoff losses than Tom Brady has been in his Super Bowl wins. You ready for this? I don't know. I'm giving you information. Tom Brady's offense in the 6 Super Bowl wins. He's got 140.
I'm trying to give you in this conversation
because I'm trying to give you that Tom Brady gets all the credit when they win.
Because he wins,
right? But I'm trying to tell you.
It's a short menu. Somebody once told me.
You just went on for 10 minutes. Can I talk? Can you turn this mic off? Can I talk? Can I talk for 5 minutes?
It's a short menu.
Can I talk? No. Can I talk?
Gosh,
this is what I'm trying to say. You don't want to hear any numbers. Tom Brady's offense in his 6 Super Bowl wins, 144 points on 69 drives. That's 2.09 points per drive. Aaron Rodgers' offense and his 8 playoff losses, 192 points on 82 drives, which is 2.34 points per drive.
Stop it, Mr. Analytics.
No,
that's not good radio.
No,
nobody wants to hear decimal points.
My point is, you give Tom Brady, like even when he won the Super Bowl last year,
6 rings.
And then throw any touchdowns, you give him credit and like, Tom Brady, oh my God, look at what he did. He didn't do anything last year and won a Super Bowl.
Did they win?
Tom Brady. He's won 2 Super Bowls without throwing 1 touchdown in 2 Super Bowls.
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
My only point to you, Chris, is yes, Aaron could have played better.
Really?
But when you're in a situation when your defense gives up 220 yards on the ground, you're not winning anything. You're not.
I didn't even ask.
You're
for
not
a win.
Going to win. And here's the other thing. Can I get my point out?
Go ahead. You got some more decimal points?
I just want to get my point out. It's not like Garoppolo did any. Garoppolo didn't even play. He was just standing there because they didn't have to because the defense couldn't stop them. Yeah, I'm telling you, and when you're in that situation, and Chris, you have to throw every down because you're down big, it's harder to do. There's no trickery. They know what's going on. You got to throw the football every down. You don't have time when you're giving up 45 points and 37 points. That's all I'm saying.
You become one-dimensional. The reason they were down was because of Aaron.
It's not just that.
I know it's not just that. Nobody ever said it was just that. Of course, the defense was the biggest problem.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
No question. And they may not have, I mean, had he had a great game, they probably wouldn't have won.
Not when one guy gets 220 yards.
I didn't say you got to win. I'm just saying you had to deliver. He did the same thing when they lost 44-21 to Atlanta in 2016. First half, it was they were down like 24-0 because he had a pick and no touchdowns in the first half. Then he second half when the game's over, he comes out there and he ends up with almost 300 yards.
He has to
and
keep
touchdowns.
But he has to keep playing.
It's padding stats.
He has to keep playing.
And if you say it about Stafford, why can't you say it about Rodgers?
Because Stafford hasn't even won a playoff game, Chris.
No, I'm not saying he's as
good.
Come
on, man. Come on.
I'm not saying he's as good as
Rodgers. It's apples and oranges. No, it ain't. It's apples and oranges. Matt Stafford was the number one pick in the NFL draft, had gone to three playoff games, hasn't won one playoff game, and he has all these numbers that people keep. He got Hall of Fame stats. That's padding stats when you don't beat anybody. When you're 5-45 against teams over 500. Aaron Rodgers has won two MVPs and has the best touchdown to interception ratio, the best quarterback rating.
Not in the NFC Championship
game. I'm just telling you that you can't put him. You can't put him in the same conversation with Stafford, man. That's so disrespectful.
Oh, really?
I can't even listen to that. That's ridiculous.
He's six
That's
touchdowns,
absolutely ridiculous.
Seven picks in the NFC
Matt Stafford
Championship
Stafford ain't even
game.
Win a playoff game. Come on, man.
I'm just saying keep
Matt
it consistent,
Stafford.
Man,
no,
Bolt.
That's ridiculous.
That's all I'm saying. I never implied that Matt Stafford's as good as him, but I'm saying
a first round pick
I'm
with no playoff win after a decade.
Aaron Rodgers has padded his stats yesterday. You want to talk about
you
got to
keep playing.
Why don't you say
what
that
do you
about
want him to
Stafford
do?
Then?
Because he never beats anybody.
About Dak, then.
The same thing. Win. Dak is the same thing.
Dak's won more games than Aaron Rodgers the last 4 years.
And what has that got him? He was home this
What's
year.
What's it gotten Rodgers?
He was supposed to be in the Super Bowl.
What's it gotten Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers. Ain't nobody
years.
Picked the Packers to be a game away from
you
getting
did?
To the Super
you
Bowl.
You picked them to win
I
the
did.
Super Bowl.
I did, but
All
nobody
right.
else
How's
did.
How's that looking?
They were right there.
Really?
Yes.
It
they
was
were in the NFC.
7-0 at half
they were
time.
In the NFC Championship
right.
game.
We got a different definition of right there. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers, Rob, his problem's on the road. Now, I'll give you this. In the NFC, four title games he's played, all on the road. I'll give you that. So it's a little tougher, obviously, they're on the road. But here's the problem. Aaron Rodgers now, in the regular seasons and in the playoffs, he's 50-49 on the road. Tom Brady, 102-48 on the road. So Rodgers has lost more road games than Tom Brady, even though he's played 51 fewer. I'm just disappointed. That's all I'm saying.